The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio. This is Ron Bachman, and you're listening to Healthcare Insight. At Healthcare Insight, we try to take a look at all aspects of health, health of the country, health of the individual, health of our domestic policy, health of our foreign policy, health of our politics in general. And today I want to continue to expose one of the biggest frauds ever perpetuated on the American public, the biggest fraudulent politician ever foisted on the American public, and that is Kamala Harris. Recognize that she has never been up to vote for the American people. She has worked her way all the way through being selected as vice president and now being coronated as a presidential candidate. She did not have to go through a primary. She didn't have to go through media vetting. She was just coronated with less than, or just a little over 3 months to go before the election, so that she could hide in a basement or hide certainly behind whatever facade she puts up to not address the media. It is, at this taping, been more than 14 days since she was selected as a Democratic presumptive nominee, and yet she has not had a single unscripted media press conference. She has gone to some rallies. She reads from a teleprompter like her boss Joe Biden is. Been doing for 3 years, but she has not directly addressed the public and gotten into what many would describe as word salad. She just doesn't seem to be anything other than be able to present some simple sentence backwards and forwards, what I call a very vacuous personality, a very vacuous intellectual perspective. But I want to back up, because I know the people on the left don't like to talk about people's past and how they got to where they've gotten. But, you know, anybody who comes into, especially running for the President of the United States, their whole background ought to be investigated. Certainly Donald Trump and his business relationships, his branding of buildings, his TV program, Apprentice that he ran, all those things were open game. But for some reason, Democrats don't want to look into the past of Kamala Harris. And many people in the country don't know about her past and how she got to be in the position that she is currently in of running for president. So I do want to back up, and I want to talk about how she got her start as a San Francisco, a far-left liberal. And I want to talk about it because it's difficult talking about whether race or sex in any kind of a political realm. It gets very sensitive for people, and people who are going to love Kamala are not going to like what I said. People who maybe say they're moderates or they're in between, but they don't like talking about women or racial issues in a very open and honest way. They don't like it. But that's what I'm going to do today, because I think we have to face the reality and the truth. So I want to turn, because I am a male. I don't know that I can speak appropriately to some of the background and upbringing and the way that Kamala Harris advanced in her political life. So I want to turn to Megyn Kelly, somebody who has been anti-Trump in the past and has now turned, and she is pretty much in favor of Trump, although she's not immune to criticizing him, but she certainly would favor him over Kamala Harris. So I want to turn to Megyn Kelly and ask Megyn about the very beginnings of Kamala Harris. So, Megyn, tell us your thoughts on how she got started and why you're not afraid to expose it.
I will not be shamed out of discussing this by people who say it's slut shaming or it's not relevant. It is relevant when a young candidate tries to sleep her way into politics and into power. And that is what it appears Kamala Harris did when she was a young political aspirant in San Francisco, when she had an affair with a man 30 years older than she was. She was 29 to 30 and he was 60. Willie Brown, who was like the godfather of San Francisco politics and very well known. And sure enough, that relationship paid dividends for her in more ways than one.
So before we get to all the policy issues that she may or may not be holding today, because it seems like Kamala chameleon to me, where she's changed, I think looking at her past and how she got where she is today is critical to understand the perspective of whether this is somebody you want to be president of the United States and leader of the free world. So I understand how she used this relationship with Willie Brown, a powerful political influence in San Francisco and in California in general. What did he do for her to get her started?
So it was back when, again, she was 30 years old. He was, at the time, Democratic Speaker of the California State Assembly, quoting here from a Washington Examiner piece, which is very good. The position that he gave her on the California Medical Assistance Commission in 1994 paid at that time over $70,000 a year, which is about $120,000 current money. And she served on the board until 1998, so about 4 years. That medical commission met twice a month. So for two meetings a month, she was getting the equivalent of $120,000. And you know why Democrats in San Francisco were mad about it? It wasn't because she wasn't qualified, which she wasn't. It was because those positions are supposed to be saved for only the most prized Democrats who Willie Brown really owed favors to, who did really, you know, amazing things to keep Willie Brown in power. But instead, he gave one to his lover. He was, by the way, still married, though he was reportedly estranged from his wife for a long time. So, this was technically an extramarital relationship. And they were mad that he gave one of his choice grifting positions, not to somebody who'd done a lot for Democratic politicians, but to Kamala.
So she got her start with Willie Brown, giving her a choice plum commission job where she had to do very little that was really reserved for the closest of his friends that he owed something to that helped him become so powerful. But instead, he actually gave it to Kamala Harris. What was the next step? How did she progress to the next level or get additional money so that she could advance herself in San Francisco and California politics?
There was another one. He gave her a second position as well, which was basically the same kind of deal where he just gave her an appointment. She reaped in tons of money and boom, Bob's your uncle. She was off to the races in Dem politics. And then Willie Brown is on record as saying, I also then helped her with her next big position, which was becoming San Francisco DA.
I also understand that after Willie Brown helped her so much to get where she could run her own campaign and be her own person, that she basically threw him under the bus with some interviews she had with local media saying, you know, now is her time. And she kind of dissed him. So, Megan, tell me a little bit about if that's her background in history. What do you think's going to happen over the next few weeks or months relative to Joe Biden, if this is the pattern that Kamala follows in her political life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole Democratic Party is going to be stepping all over Joe Biden momentarily. He's going to get his weekend in the sun about what a lion he is. And then as soon as they realize that they can blame everything on him and take it off of Kamala, that's what they're going to do. Every inflation number you've seen, it's all his fault. She didn't touch it. She was just a lowly vice president. You know, what was she supposed to do?
Okay, so Ms. Kelly, tell us what your research and review and understanding of Kamala Harris, our vice president, what she has been like in doing her job as vice president, the basics of being a vice president. I know we sort of skipped over her from some of her beginnings in California to get the attorney general job and the support from Willie Brown, then she got his support to run a campaign to become senator, was selected by President Biden because he wanted to have a black female on his ticket. And so she was plucked out of the Senate because she matched up with that, and she had good political connections again from California. But as the vice president, actually doing the job on the very basics of studying and researching and getting the information a vice president needs to have to be able to support the president, not just wait around for him to die, or as they say, one heartbeat away from the president. What was she like in doing the very basics of her job?
Yeah, the reports were that she would fail to read the briefing materials that she was given by the staff, and then she would lash out at the staff for her not knowing information. And meanwhile, she just refused to do her homework. This wasn't in right-wing blogs that just hated Kamala Harris. This was reported even in the mainstream about her terrible behavior as vice president.
Okay, so we start this hour with talking about and explaining some of her background, how she got where she was, and you can make your own judgments on the appropriateness of her political intrigue and process of getting to where she is already as presidential nominee of the Democratic Party. So, and we also talked about how unprepared she seems to want to be, even in the job of the vice president. So I can't help myself. Let's take a couple snippets and talk about how intellectually prepared she is for the job. Kamala, tell us about the children of the community.
We talk about the children of the community. They are a children of the community.
Well, such brilliance. And we also know that children are our future. And it's important for any politician to talk about the future and the time that our children are going to live in. So tell us about what your thoughts are relative to, let's say, just the passage of time and the future for our children.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Wow, how impressed our listeners must be, because you take your job and your ability to talk to the public and that that platform that you have as vice president to speak to the public with the media fawning over you all the time. So tell us about the significance of why and the seriousness of why the job you're doing is just so important.
This stuff seriously as you are, because you have been forced to have to take it seriously.
Well, this is a great start, and I appreciate Kamala sort of jumping in here at the end with the little snippets of her vacuous wisdom. So we've got to go and take a commercial break. So I want to sign this off with this segment off with what Kamala might say about the need to get from here to there.
You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
Certain issues are just settled.
Clearly we're not.
No, that's right. And that's why I do believe that we are living, sadly, in real unsettled times.
Thank you, Kamala Harris. And let's take that quick commercial break that she was referring to. But don't go home. Let's come back here and let's get into the real depth of policy issues surrounding the potential next president of the United States and what she stands for and what she stood for and maybe has changed her mind on, because she's become more educated on topics as she has done so much research as vice president in all these topics and issues.
In 2009, the membership organization Docs for Patient Care was founded. People all around the country wanted to participate in the efforts of this group, and they wanted to join, but they were unable to do so unless they were physicians. It's for this reason that the Docs for Patient Care Foundation was created. Now, everyone can join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. While you're at your computer, please go to www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docs4patientcarefoundation.org, and make a tax-deductible donation and join the fight along with us. Thank you.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio. As today we continue to uncover the background, the experience, the politics of Kamala Harris. And I preferred in the last segment to use Megyn Kelly and her comments about Kamala Harris, because if you've listened to last week's program, you know what mine are. Well, today I want to talk about the Trump rally in Atlanta, Georgia, because I think it's important to hear and understand what the black community is actually willing to say about Donald Trump and about Kamala Harris. Now, I know that a lot of people out there think there's only a small portion of the black community that is going to vote for Trump. I don't know about that. It seems to be growing daily. And as I listen to and do research on YouTube and other social media, there is really a growing voice of black commentators, announcers, podcasters that are very much against Kamala because she really hasn't done much for the black community. So I want to highlight Michaela Montgomery at the Trump rally in Atlanta, a black single mom who works at Chick-fil-A, and I'll let her do a quick introduction of herself. And then I want you to hear the comments and the roar of the response, much of which is a black community behind her. Yes, it's a mixed community, but there's an awful lot of minority representation in the audience that is cheering on her thoughts and comments. And I think she puts it in a very unique way that maybe only a black female can put in perspective for other black females. So, Michaela, tell us a little bit more about who you are.
My name is Michaela Montgomery. A lot of you guys know me as the girl from Chick-fil-A, but I am so much more than that. Not only do I serve as the CEO of Conserve the Culture, I am also the state director for Blexit down here in Georgia. I'm a Fulton County coordinator for America First Works, and I'm also launching a podcast on the Patriots Prayer Network, so put some respect on my name.
So, Michaela, as a black woman, speaking to some of the experiences that you've had, tell us about what you're seeing with the economy and inflation relative to what happens in your life, and who do you blame for that inflation?
Single mother, I can tell y'all that rent is too damn high. I can tell you that as a young black voter, groceries are too damn high. And as an American citizen, period, seniors like my parents should never have to choose between medicine or food. It should never be the quality of life versus the quantity of life. And I don't want to hear, oh, but we capped the price of insulin and lowered the price of all these medicines. Yeah, but you raised the price of everything else. So it's about time to start telling the truth to Americans and let them know exactly what they're signing up for if they want to vote for Kamala Harris.
So, Ms. Montgomery, how should the black community, if you can speak to the part that you see, that you experience, your neighbors, friends, family, how should they deal with this inflation and the impact it has on Georgians, since that's where you are as well? And what should they do about it?
We need to vote based on facts and not feelings. See, under Harris and Biden, the average Georgia household is losing $1,060 per month, and inflation is at 21.4%. And due to the war on energy, average gas prices have reached record highs for the state. We also did a poll, and 80% of us black Americans are not happy with the current state of the economy. So I'm going to need 80% of y'all to vote accordingly in November.
Well, Michaela, the media seems to be making over Kamala as the savior for the black community and for America. They're really building her up when previously she hadn't really done much, if anything, in the vice presidents. And we'll get into those specific details, what she has and hasn't done. But what's she doing to the American family as well, because she says she's for blacks, she's for black communities, she's now identifying a black. So how do you see what she's actually done versus what she and Democrats typically say?
The left wants you to get in your feelings about things that have been said, but I want you guys to pay attention to what has been done. They don't want to talk policy. They just want to use propaganda to steal your vote. The left is trying to tout this woman as a savior for the black community, but all she's done is hurt the black community since she came into the game. See, the first step in destroying the black community is to dismantle the black family. So aside from her record as a prosecutor, why don't we ask Mrs. Willie Brown if Kamala Harris cares about black families?
Well, Michaela, a few days ago, President Trump was in the news because he was disputing whether Vice President Kamala Harris is black, or she didn't really identify during this campaign up to this point that she was also Indian. So is she afraid of that? Is she just using her blackness because there's more black votes available in the United States than there are maybe Indian votes? I don't understand what the confusion was. Can you tell me how somebody from the black community might interpret his remarks? Were they insulting, or were they just stating facts?
A few days ago, President Trump said he didn't know Vice President Harris was a black woman. I'm trying to figure out what all the outrage is about, because she's only black when it's time to get elected. The same black people who are mad at Trump for being confused about her race, ethnicity, nationality, whatever, are seemingly forgetting that while you're touting her as a savior for black people, she identifies as an Asian woman.
Well, Michaela, what I'm hearing you say is that she will try to pander to the black, especially black female community when she can and thinks she can get some votes. But if you look behind the curtain, what has she actually said she would do for the black community? And can you give me a little bit of a flavor of what you know Donald Trump has already done and will continue to do if he is reelected?
When asked if she would ever do anything specifically for black people, she said no. Whereas Trump gave us the Platinum Plan, which specifically uplifted the black community by increasing capital by almost $500 billion, creating 500,000 new black businesses, and would give black churches the ability to fight for federal resources for their community.
Well, Ms. Montgomery, you give very good, very succinct answers, very direct to the point that I think can resonate with the common person, whether that common person is black or white or just now catching up with the politics of the day. So give us your response to the border crisis and its impact on black communities.
Why are we acting like strong borders aren't a thing literally everywhere else in the world? Since when has being patriotic been a crime? See, a few weeks ago at the debate, Trump mentioned black jobs, and a lot of people got in an uproar as if they didn't know what he meant. Well, we go to the polls and cast our black vote. We go to the stores and spend our black dollar. We live in our black community, but for whatever reason, we draw the line at a black job. Oh, but wait, because if you're wondering what a black job is, please, I encourage you all to drive through Atlanta at all these beautiful black-owned businesses and check and see who works there. Probably a black person working for a black entrepreneur, recycling the black dollar, creating black generational wealth. If they come here illegally and they're taking your jobs and your resources, then please believe my cousins in the Appalachians, they coming for you too.
So how would you describe Kamala Harris's impact as the border czar during her time as vice president and its impact on the black community?
Y'all know Kamala Harris has yet to say Lake and Riley's name. As border czar, she opened the border to millions of illegal immigrants that have flooded American streets with deadly drugs and gangs that have spiked overdoses by over 124% and brought more crime into minority communities. So how's that for black folks?
Great short answers to very important, specific questions. Now tell us what you think about Kamala and women's rights.
But let's take race out of it. Just as a woman, period. How can you be a champion for women's rights when you're taking away opportunities from biological women and giving them to transgendered ones. And see, how can you promote equity for women and you're allowing men to play in women's sports? What kind of feminist would still allow men to enter their sacred spaces, i.e. our bathrooms and school locker rooms? We cannot allow dangerous liberals who think things like this are okay into the White House, because my will not be fighting a man at her wrestling match.
As we move to wrap up this segment of the program, tell us your thoughts on leadership. President Trump versus Kamala Harris in the most dangerous situation that we might find ourselves during the next administration.
I think both men and women can agree on is that national security is important. So who would y'all rather see lead us into war if it were so to happen? My silk press sister Kamala or the big dog Donald Trump?
You know, we've talked about, and you've pointed out several times, the continuing pandering of the Democrats to the minority community to win their votes only at election time. Well, something has just come up even this week where there have been funds withheld for black farmers that seem to have just magically been released right before election, as if people are stupid and don't realize that it should have been done a long time ago. So give us your thoughts on farmers, because that's a big part of the community there in Georgia, and especially black farmers in Georgia who have been working that soil for decades, if not a couple hundred years.
I cannot get up here without mentioning my farmers, the backbone of this country. And aside from the Biden-Harris administration hurting you guys in ways we can't even comprehend, by the rising cost of everything, black farmers suffered even more due to the delays associated with the Inflation Reduction Act signed in 2022. Now, don't let the Biden-Harris administration fool you, because they waited until the ninth hour to sign off on disbursements as a last-minute attempt to garner support. But why would they hurt the agricultural industry? Probably because they're looking forward to making more money in the pharmaceutical one.
Well, abortion has been a big issue and will be a big issue in this campaign, because Kamala keeps pushing that as if Trump has stopped all abortions in this country, which, of course, he hasn't. But what's your perspective on the medical care and health insurance requirements of the Biden administration?
When they bring up abortion and they talk about protecting your medical freedoms, don't be afraid to mention COVID. The Biden-Harris administration forced Americans to take an experimental vaccine and took away their jobs, their livelihoods, and their freedoms if they refused. Trump gave us a choice and Biden gave us a mandate. So the next time the left wants to tell you that, hey, abortion is a right and you need to protect your medical freedoms, remember that they took those freedoms away from men and women the second they got in office, and there's nothing stopping them from doing it again.
Okay, Ms. Montgomery, what's your final word to not just black voters, but any voter out there worried about the issues and not just the feelings that people have? Well, I don't like him or I don't like her. How should they be thinking as they ultimately get into that voting booth or they send in their mail-in ballots?
So lastly, again, I'm going to encourage you all to vote based on the facts and not feelings. Oh, he made me feel so bad when he said that. Okay, but they hurt your families when they sent all your tax dollars overseas. Oh, it hurts my feelings when he acts like that. Okay, but it hurts all of us when you see an administration failing their country that they were elected to represent.
Well, audience, let's take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back with more clearly defined, plain language wording about what and who Kamala Harris is, so you and your friends, your family, anybody you associate with can more clearly understand what their vote means in November. Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio. We have been looking at Kamala Harris Exposed 2.0. We did it last week. We're going to do it again this week and maybe into some future weeks, because she has not had a single press conference. She's not really had any direct contact with the public other than for her speeches that she gives at rallies where she's on teleprompter. She's not done anything sort of off the cuff or talking to the media or going and talking to regular people where she's not pre-scripted with questions or responses or with friendly audiences. So what I want to do now is I want to turn to some of the policy issues. And one of the most brilliant Republican senators who understands the policy issues and the importance of them, and who may very well be a 2028 candidate, is Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. Senator Tom Cotton really understands the issues, and I want him to start us off by talking about how united the Republican Party is against Kamala Harris and some of the reasons why she is so radical. So let me turn it over to Tom Cotton for the moment, and we'll do some questions and answers with him.
And what we all agree on is what a disaster Kamala Harris would be as president. She is a dangerous San Francisco liberal who wants to do things like take your health insurance away on the job and give it to illegal aliens because she wants to decriminalize illegal immigration into this country. That's just the small tip of the iceberg of her radical views.
Well, Senator Cotton, I know that the media will pick up on whatever sounds salacious or something they can pick on about Donald Trump and his presentation, whether it's talking about Kamala's use of her blackness versus her Indian Asian heritage. Of course, she used the Asian heritage when she was running for office in California because there were more Asians out there that would give her the votes that she needed as opposed to minorities. Now she's running as a black. She got nominated because Joe Biden wanted a black female. So she's there, and Trump tends to have these little snippets that he brings out in some of his presentations, which Kamala doesn't do presentations to media or go into a hostile area as Trump did with the Black Journalist Association. But many Republicans are telling him to kind of slow it down a little bit, be what some people would call be more presidential. That's not Donald Trump exactly. When he's being challenged, he doesn't just accept it. He pushes back. He doesn't accept bullies. He doesn't accept the bullying of the press. And he speaks the truth. He knows what he's talking about, just as some people can't handle the truth. So tell us about how united or how divided the party might be on Donald Trump's approach to this election and the narrative that seems to be generated whenever he is speaking.
But we're all united in the need to stop Kamala Harris, because if you think the last 4 years have been bad for your family, the worst is yet to come if Kamala Harris gets elected president.
And some worry that Donald Trump, or the campaign at least, underestimates Kamala Harris. She is known as a fierce fighter when she is put into a corner. She did that in California. She is not afraid of really viciously attacking her opponent. She may have a different strategy this time around of just not talking to anybody, not talking to the press, not talking to the any media, or not talking to the general public. So what do we do as this election seems to be getting pretty close?
I think we always knew this campaign was going to be a close race. But remember, she's only been the nominee for 2 weeks now. She hasn't answered a single question, not one single question by the media Ed. She's only had one single unscripted moment Thursday night at Andrews Air Force Base welcoming those hostages back, and she served up the kind of incomprehensible word salad for which she's become famous. When she has to encounter them, she's going to have to answer for things like why she wants to eliminate oil and gas production in this country, why she wants to ban gas-powered cars, why she wants to confiscate private firearms. So we knew this race was going to be close all along, whoever the Democrats wanted to put up against President Trump. But Kamala Harris has only been the nominee for 2 weeks and hasn't answered a single question. When the American people get a better look at her and her radical positions, I think you're going to see that they don't want her to continue the Biden-Harris legacy.
Well, I think even casual political junkies like myself recognize that if this campaign is just about Kamala and Biden and race and gender and those sorts of things, that the Democrats going to have a much greater chance of winning. If it's about policy, which that's what affects our lives, inflation, the border, safety and security on our streets, peace overseas. If it's a peace and prosperity and safety campaign, then I think the Republicans win. Kamala has changed her position on a lot of issues. In fact, I would coin the term Kamala Chameleon. It's a good song even about Kamala Chameleon. And so she is both a chameleon and a comedian. In any case, how do we get this back to being about the issues? And is Donald Trump doing enough to get the focus on issues in the news cycle?
I watched his conversation at the National Association of Black Journalists. I watched last night at his rally in Georgia. The vast majority of that time is spent contrasting his record of peace and prosperity and the Biden-Harris record of high inflation and a wide open border and war and chaos around the world. When he talks about Kamala Harris' record of being a radical trans activist or wanting to ban cows or ban oil and gas production, that's where President Trump's focus has been throughout this campaign. And as the American people start getting answers from Kamala Harris, which is, they're not going to like what they hear. So I think it's incumbent upon the media to hold Kamala Harris to the same standard that every other nominee who earned their nomination has ever been held to. Donald Trump in 16, Barack Obama in 08, they all had to go through more than a year of testing at town halls and VFWs and debates because they earned the nomination. Kamala Harris had it given to her. For 2 weeks, she's dodged the press. She can't dodge the press for another 13 weeks.
Well, what you know that every night on the press, it takes that same thing, that same little clip from the journalist where Trump is questioning whether she's black or whether she's Indian. What do you think she identifies as or should identify as?
She identifies as a dangerous San Francisco liberal. That's the danger to the American people.
Well, Senator Cotton, we've also had this recent prisoner exchange, multi-country prisoner exchange. Tell us what your thinking is there, because we've had a pretty bad history of giving money to Iran, $6 billion for six hostages we got back. We've given money and we've given prized prisoners that we had in Guantanamo that went back to the field to fight against Americans. People are confused. It's nice to get people home, but does it set up future hostage taking by other countries? What's your thinking about the current hostage exchange program that just went on?
Well, of course, we all join in the joy for the family and friends of the American hostages that were released. We're always welcoming them back. Unfortunately, that joy is tempered by the reality that there are going to be more hostages in the future, and families are going to have to grieve for their absence in the future, because Vladimir Putin, just like the Ayatollahs, have played Joe Biden and Kamala Harris like a fiddle. I mean, there's even reports suggesting that Putin specifically took Evan Gershkovich hostage because of previous failed hostage exchanges between the Biden-Harris administration and Russia, because he was a prominent reporter for a prominent global media company. What you see now is there's a market for this kind of hostage taking. That's why the Ayatollahs take hostages because they got $6 billion from Joe Biden. You didn't have that with Donald Trump. He got more than 50 hostages back to the United States without paying a dime of ransom or having any high-profile prisoner exchange. He also was willing to use our military to conduct hostage rescue missions, another thing that Joe Biden has never done. So, of course, we join in rejoicing at the return of the American hostages, but we have to realize that if Kamala Harris is elected president, it is once again going to be open season on Americans overseas.
Senator Cotton, every administration does something like this. And it is nice to get the people back home. But tell me why or how you think the Trump administration is going to be any different from the Biden administration or a future Harris administration when it comes to things like prisoner exchange. Why is that something that you see as a significant difference that the American people should know about? Does it get to the strength of character? Does it get to the international position that Trump is going to be stronger and Harris is going to be weaker? We've got a lot of very sensitive areas going on in this world today. So tell me why you think the Trump administration would be better in things like prisoner exchange.
Well, part of the point is that you might not have had these hostages taken in the first place. There's Wall Street Journal reporting that indicates that the Germans went forward with this now because they believe that Vladimir Putin was scared of Donald Trump becoming president again. Again, we don't have to speculate.
You guarantee that no America would.
We don't have to speculate what it would look like in the future. For the first time in 100 years, we have the record of a former president to compare to the Biden-Harris administration. More than 50 hostages returned under Donald Trump, not a dime of ransom, and no high-profile prisoners exchanged either.
So I think this is a great start to looking at the differences in policies. I think Senator Cotton has outlined it very well, at least at a high level, that Kamala Harris has changed her position on a number of issues, and the issues that she really believes in are very dangerous to this country. She's changed so much that, again, I would call her Kamala Chameleon because she'll change relative to whatever the political environment is. I give you a good example there that wasn't exactly brought up by Senator Cotton, and that is she has been against fracking. Well, one of the key states for oil production through the fracking process is Pennsylvania, and she needs Pennsylvania to win the election. It's a lot of jobs, a lot of high-paying jobs, a lot of union jobs in Pennsylvania, yet she is against it, but she's now had an election year conversion and says she's for it. But you know, once she gets into office, that she will be against it because she's against any kind of oil-based energy production. She wants wind and solar. She doesn't want carbon-based energy produced in this country and wants to get rid of it. So that weakens this country. It strengthens our enemies. She knows it, but she doesn't care, or she's just stupid enough that she doesn't really understand that the power of a country that can be projected worldwide is substantially based on the amount of energy that they can produce for their economy, for their military, for their people to live safely, warm in the winter and cool in the summer, be able to produce products and services that other people around the world want. Without energy, we are lost as a country, and this Green New Deal is what is really hurting this country from top to bottom and creates the inflation because there is no substitute for inexpensive, clean oil that can bring down the cost of goods across the country. Well, let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back and we're going to analyze more of Kamala Harris's dangerous policies for the United States.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@AmericasWebRadio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the final segment of America's Web Radio, and you're listening to Ron Bachman and Healthcare Insight. And what we want to continue is looking at the Kamala chameleon. She's changed her position on so many things during this election year process, which happens so often with lying politicians. And you know what they said originally is what they really meant and what they're really going to do once elected. So be careful, America. Don't fall for the continuing lies. She's the same one who said that Joe Biden was the sharpest tack in the administration, had more energy than she or anybody in her cabinet. So many lies that have been promoted by Kamala Harris and supported by the media. I don't know how anybody could ever believe anything she or the media says, but let's talk about this conversion. One of the individuals, and I know the left is going to get upset if there's any Democrats listening to this broadcast right now, but one of the most important journalists, TV personalities, cable news programs that is exposing the Kamala chameleon change of heart, change of direction has been Sean Hannity. So I want to go to Sean Hannity and have him explain some of the changes of heart that he's already seen in this Harris campaign.
An election year conversion. We're getting like one or two a day. And that's where a dishonest, fake politician that wants power, that is highly ambitious, will say and do anything to get elected. But if her positions have truly changed, then she owes you some answers. Why does she no longer support her mandatory federal gun buyback, ostensibly gun confiscation? Why does she no longer support Medicare for All, her plan that she co-sponsored in the Senate that would eliminate all private health insurance? Why does she no longer support government-guaranteed jobs? That was a big part of the New Green Deal that, again, she co-sponsored in the U.S. Senate. Where Senator Kennedy said to our friend and colleague Neil Cavuto, Kamala is AOC without the bartending experience. So why does Kamala no longer support a ban on fracking? Something she proclaimed many, many, many times. Why does she no longer support defunding the police and directing funds away from police department? Why is she no longer tweeting out the bail fund after the Minneapolis police precinct was burned to the ground?
Well, Sean, those are interesting points on all the issues you raised. But, you know, the number one issue of the American public is immigration. And she has been the border czar, whether she wants to admit it, whether the administration wants to admit it. American people are not stupid. We've known for 3.5 years that Biden put her in charge of the border to try to solve the problems. And she decided that the real problem is going down to Central America and paying off the dictators and the governments down there, the corrupt governments down there. And that didn't have any impact. People keep flowing because the Biden administration and the Harris policies have put out the welcome mat for people to come in. So once people are here, let's listen on her own words as to how she feels about whether or not those people who come here illegally should be deported.
I will say, no, absolutely not. They should not be deported. And I actually, this was one of the very few issues with which I disagreed with the administration. I was Attorney General of California. I led the second largest Department of Justice in the United States, second only to the United States Department of Justice in a state of 40 million people. And on this issue, I disagreed with my president because the policy was to allow deportation of people who, by ICE's own definition, were non-criminals. So as Attorney General and the Chief Law Officer of the State of California, I issued a directive to the sheriffs of my state that they did not have to comply with detainers and instead should make decisions based on the best interest of public safety of their community.
Well, there you have it, folks. Kamala's opinion about illegal immigration and how we handle people who come to this country illegally. And you can also see that how she started the sanctuary city support from the district attorney office that she held in California. She's responsible for the development of sanctuary cities that then other cities around the country, even outside of California, adopted. That they don't have to get with ISIS if you have a criminal. They don't have to turn them over to any government entity to be deported. They just get to release back into the general population and create more crimes, and we know that's going on. So let's turn back to Sean Hannity for his overall description of what's really been happening.
The border, with your borders are, is an unmitigated disaster. So why does Kamala still support sanctuary cities and states? Why won't she say people that enter our country illegally are criminals? Why is Kamala forcing you, the American people, already strapped by her and Joe Biden's record high inflation, to pay for illegal immigrants and their health care and their education and their housing?
Well, audience, I know of no greater reason to vote against Kamala and to put Donald Trump in office than this one single issue and the difference in how it would be handled under a Trump administration, as we know it was in the past. Shut down the border, stop the illegal immigration, begin to deport the most criminal of elements in our society, get them back to their home countries. And these people coming into our country illegally are taking our resources. We are actually paying for housing and health care and education, and we're giving them credit cards, debit cards to go out and spend money. We are doing the craziest things, and most of these people seem to be, a high percentage of them at least, seem to be early 20 males, and they don't speak English. They come to this country. What do you think they're going to do to survive when they get here? They're going to find some way to get into the drugs. They're either making money from drug cartels when they come in, or maybe in sex trafficking that's been going on. And we know that there's been a lot of crime that is going unreported in any official statistics, but we're not stupid as Americans. We know what's going on. So what does Kamala Harris say to all of this and to the people who have been killed, been very public killings and murders and rapes from the illegal aliens? And we know there's many more that goes unreported and people get released. And so what has Kamala got to say about all that?
And the most important question, Kamala, what do you say to all of the families who loved ones were murdered, those that had family members raped, other victims of other crimes committed by the nearly 11 million unvetted illegal immigrants that you and Joe led into this country? What do you say to them? When will you apologize to them? How do you ever answer the question about how you have allowed all of these people from nearly 180 countries into our country with the promise of free health care and education and housing, people from countries that have terror ties, countries that are our top geopolitical foes?
Let me change course just a little bit here and show you how crazy our media is. That instead of talking about policy, they want to pick up snippets that they know might sound strange from Donald Trump, and any politician says some strange things, but they are very unique in being able to pick up any little thing and make a bigger deal out of it than it is. Like Donald Trump questioning whether she's identifying as black or Asian, and he said it doesn't matter. He respects both, but the media picks up on it. So instead of looking at policy issues, that's what they want to focus on. They even frame their questions showing their complete bias. Just listen to the stupidity of the question that is presented by a so-called journalist at CNN to Senator Tom Cotton.
How does her changing her views on her policy justify having the presumptive, the Republican nominee questioning her race? How does that increase or decrease your party's chances of winning in November?
Well, Caitlin, you haven't had that conversation with Kamala Harris because she's been hiding out.
I want to have this conversation with you, Senator.
Just like Joe Biden hid out before her. And my point is, when are you and the rest of the media going to demand that Kamala Harris come out and answer questions in an unscripted format about where she stands for this country, as opposed to continuing to focus on what Donald Trump said today?
So this reporter doesn't recognize her own stupidity. She recognizes in the question that Kamala has changed positions, but she doesn't ask about policy and position changes that Kamala has had and compare that and ask where the Republicans stand. No, she has to go to some topic that every liberal media is focusing on that to avoid the issue of Kamala's stance on policies. So let's go back to Sean Hannity and see what he has to say about all this.
Kamala has enjoyed a free pass for years, but she's now running for the presidency of the United States of America, will be nominated at the DNC without winning a single primary vote. No problem. Talk about democracy in peril. Every disenfranchised Democratic primary voter, they don't care about you. So it might be nice if Kamala can summon the courage to tell voters about all of the radical things she has said in her own words without reading a teleprompter.
Well, Sean, the national media, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, they're all in on the game. They understand that they are extremely liberal, if not socialist slash to the extent almost to Marxism in many of their journalistic practices. What do you think is driving this? Is there any potential change in this? How do we get past any of this on the media and actually get out what's going on with Kamala Harris and what her policy positions are? Do you have any thoughts whatsoever?
The state-run media mob is a corrupt institution. I said in 2007 and 8, journalism is dead. They are nothing but a political extension of all things leftist, radical, Democrats, state-run media, modern-day Pravda. But shouldn't we at least expect the bare minimum from a major party candidate? Don't we deserve that?
So the media is not going to do the job. There's no really hope there. So, Sean, give us some idea of what maybe the soft underbelly is of the Democratic Party and of Kamala's capabilities to be president.
Now, despite all the glowing coverage of Kamala Harris, the Democrats, they have a real problem. Their party is deeply fractured and extreme, and Kamala, she's not capable of bringing them together. In fact, she couldn't even unite her own staff. The turnover rate, a whopping 90%, with a work environment that was described as extremely toxic. And the administration she helped lead was among the most divisive in American history. When the protective state-run media bubble is finally punctured and Kamala is forced to answer tough questions, it's likely not going to go well. She's no Barack Obama, and she's no Bill Clinton, and she served side by side with a president even worse than Jimmy Carter. She owns that record.
Well, audiences, if this doesn't give you pause as to any thoughts you might have to voting for the Democratic Party and Kamala Harris, I hope this has at least given you some insights to areas you don't know about. If you are a big Trump supporter, I hope this helped to reinforce and give you some hope that, in fact, the right outcome is going to occur on November 5th in this election year. And we will see President Trump and make America great once again.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.